we're going to have Robin Gaudy come speak to us.
Up here.
There we go.
Hello. What I know to be true about God, God is after our hearts. He is totally all about our hearts. I'm one of those statistical anomalies. I was born again at the age of 50. And that's pretty unusual, I've been told. I had 50 full years to experience all that this world has to offer. 50 years to think about things the way the world thinks about them. 50 years to feel about things the way the world feels about them. 50 years to see myself as a victim. 50 years to be offended by a look, a comment, an opinion. 50 years to practice rebellion. 50 years to question authority. I was really good at that. 50 years of manipulating people and circumstances for my desired outcomes. 50 years to construct ongoing novels in my head. 50 years to walk as the world walks. 50 years to pursue excesses, unstable, unsatisfied. The good news is that at the age of 50, God birthed a new creature in me. Here's a short version of what happened. I was born again after hearing the gospel message early morning on the radio program Through the Bible. While channel surfing the radio on my way to Starbucks before work, I came across J. Vern McGee's beautiful voice. I don't know if you've heard his voice. Kind of gravelly, Texan drawl, but to me, it was beautiful. And I heard it and I thought, he's speaking things that are true. The Spirit had started to work in me at the age of 50. It was precious. It'd be a couple of months after that first program that I would make the decision that I would come to the cross and receive forgiveness for my sins through Christ shed blood on my behalf. I had no idea of the adventure that was beginning in my life. At this point, I want to backtrack to childhood, and I want to talk about my first recollections with the Holy Bible. I was not raised in a God-fearing home, but we went to church because back in the 1950s, that's what people did to be part of their community. Do you remember your first experiences with the Bible when you were a child? There was one in our home on a small bookshelf in our living room beside the fireplace. And as a young reader, I remember picking it up now and again and going back into the corner into a gold wingback chair and sitting there and paging through it. I'd look through creation's story and I'd try and find the Christmas story in Luke. There were a lot of these and vows. And then I put it down and I probably pick up a comic book, I don't know. In the third grade, I received my own Bible from the church that we attended, and it had my name handwritten inside. Genesis 1 and 2. Found the Christmas story in Luke. Sixth grade, I was in a catechism class, and I memorized John 3:16, Luke 2:52, the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, and the Apostles' Creed. I also memorized the statement on the tube of Crest toothpaste in the morning. Crest has been shown to be an effective decay preventative dentifrice that can be of significant value when used in a conscientiously applied program of oral hygiene. And honestly, it had like about the same weight in my life. So I passed catechism, and I was confirmed when I was officially a Christian. I was told I was a Christian, so I thought I was. After high school graduation, my parents sent me to Grand City College, which is a Presbyterian college back east. My parents chose it because it was affordable. The tuition was partly funded by the Pew Foundation. It had a small campus. It was in a safe little town in Pennsylvania. Nice, safe place to put your daughter. We had Vespers in the morning at 9, from 9 to 9:15. We had Sunday evening church. Requirements were to take a semester of Old Testament, a semester of New Testament, and an elective. I chose the life of Paul. Nothing got in. You have to trust me on this one. Nothing got in. I was way in the world in the college. I did what I needed to do to get good grades, which essentially meant showing up for class, taking thorough notes, and giving the professor back exactly what he gave us. Back in that day, that earned you an A. Imagine all this exposure to Scripture and nothing got in. That's because this is a supernatural book. And that's a fact I was to discover years later. Flash forward again to age 50, when I decided it was time to read the Bible. How difficult could it be? I'd been an English major in college. I was teaching reading in the public schools. My comprehension was pretty good about things. So I signed up for a class called Disciple at the church we were attending. And it was to read through the Bible in a year with 11 other people. 12 people sitting around talking about the Bible all year. Sounded like a good idea to me. Well, right out of the chute, I knew I wasn't getting out of it what they were. We'd all have our assignments to read. We'd show up once a week, Wednesday evening class. And these discussions would go on. And I'd be wondering, are we reading the same thing? And what are you even talking about? It meant absolutely nothing to me. And it was so frustrating. My level of frustration grew and grew and grew week by week. Final driving home from Disciple one evening, I became ballistic. I say that I went banshee on God. It wasn't pretty and it wasn't nice. I was screaming, "Why won't you let me in? Why won't you show me what's in here? Everybody else seems to understand it, but you're keeping me out and I want to come in. Please let me in." And he did. He started opening up his word. You know, the first thing that God opened up to me in the Bible, he was opening up to me conviction of sin. We were in 2 Samuel, and we were learning about David and his sin with Bathsheba and against Uriah. And David talked about, "Against you and you alone, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight," in Psalm 51. And I'm like, but that doesn't even make sense. He sinned with Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah. He involved others in the whole thing. How could it first and foremost be sin against God? Well, I was still listening to Dr. McGee in the mornings, okay? And he had often said that we were to pray to God for him to guide us in our word. He would often say, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in your word." Why not pray? Seemed like a pretty good idea to me. So I did. I prayed for him to show me. And what hadn't made sense now made sense. The Holy Spirit was making known to me the things about God. It's a supernatural book, and the first thing he had to show me was my sin. He took time to woo me. He took time to win me. He kept bringing this book back into my life all those years. He finally brought me to a place where I cried out to him, and he graciously showed me the piece that I was missing, conviction of sin. And then he wondrously opened my ears to hear that gospel message, and he graciously opened my heart to receive it. I came to the cross. I was born again, born of the Spirit, born from above. These three things I'm convinced of. Jesus loves me. I love him. And every word in here is true. Over the past 16 years, the Spirit's been actively taking the things of God and making them known to me. Well, human growth takes time. And it also takes feeding. And growing the new creation in believers does as well. Just as we have to eat daily for our bodies to grow and be healthy, we have to be in God's word consistently and continually to be spiritually nourished. Are there verses that you have clung to during difficult times? I'd like to share two such times in my life. One was as a brand new believer, and one from when I'd been walking with the Lord for several years. As a new believer, and I'm telling you new, I found myself put into a time of testing. I found myself in a circumstance of staying alone in a house in another state, which had been vacant for a couple of weeks. This is a house with no working locks in the front door or side doors. It was a house filled with darkness and fearful memories from childhood. It was a place of my greatest fears and trauma as a child. It was after dark when I arrived. It was in the winter, cold and snowy. No footprints on the snow around the house. That's good. I opened the back door and I turned on the kitchen light and I stood there. And then I prayed when I went from room to room, and I turned on lights, praying for God's perfect light to flood out any darkness that remained in those rooms. And I trusted that he would do that. I went upstairs. I grabbed a pillow and a blanket so I could sleep on the sofa downstairs. Didn't want to have anything to do with that upstairs. So I turned off all the lights as I left each room, went downstairs, and then I pushed furniture against those unlocked doors. I turned off the lights and I opened up the front living room curtain. The moon was reflecting off the snow and it lit up the whole room. And then, like the psalmist, I made the decision, it was a decision, to snuggle in under his pinions, under his wings. I sought refuge. I trusted that his faithfulness would be a shield and a bulwark in that house. Thinking of Psalm 91, and at peace I fell asleep and I slept till morning. Circumstances were such that I was there for 10 days and every evening I would nestle under his wings and sleep till morning. And that experience made me know that when God is testing me and I yield to his will in that circumstance, he proves himself true to his word. He strengthens my trust in him and he builds my faith. Another difficult time when I clung to his words was some years ago when I flew to Buffalo in mid-December to be with my mom through surgery. She was 86. She had peripheral vascular disease from lifetime smoking. On December 20th, they amputated her right leg above the knee. And in the days that followed, we talked through what had happened and what the future would look like for her. Then the left leg began to deaden. And that one was amputated on December 23rd. It was one of those middle-of-the-night emergency add-on surgeries. After Mom had come out of the anesthesia and was very heavily sedated, the nurse told me to go and get some sleep so I could be rested when she needed me the next afternoon. It was 3 a.m. I was in the elevator going down to the lobby in tears and brokenhearted. But lamentations came to my lips. I was in that elevator and I could say with Jeremiah, your steadfast love never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I started singing that song, Great is your faithfulness. I was brokenhearted yet joy-filled. And that was Christmas that year. Separated from my Colorado family, brokenhearted from my mom, joy-filled, completely dependent on my Jesus. Are there songs that have come to your lips in a time of need? There's a section of road on Horsetooth, past Shields, heading west, where the two lanes become one. The right lane merges into the left lane. And inevitably, there'll be someone who's just wanting to be ahead of everyone, so they just zoom on ahead and cut off whoever is in the front of that lane. Well, one day that was happening to me. It was a beautiful, sunny afternoon, and I was sitting in the car. My first impulse was to push on that accelerator. I have to tell you. But you know what suddenly came to my lips was a song we were singing the Sunday before. I lay me down, I'm not my own, I belong to you alone. Hand on my heart, this much is true. There's no life apart from you. There's no life in cutting someone off on the road. So sometimes a song will jump out just at the right time. God's giving us a message of this is what I expect from my child, from my daughter. So I'm currently in the season now where God has been hiding his word in my heart through memorization of scripture. I wasn't sure if I could memorize in my 60s. I've talked to a lot of people who felt the same way. So I took it to God in prayer. I knew that hiding in his word in my heart would please him. I knew that submitting to him, using it there in practical, daily way would bring him glory. So I prayed, search my heart, know my desire to have your word in me, and it will be by the power of your spirit and to your glory alone if this happens. Well, it's been happening, and it's been a delight. It really has. I've been getting to know my Jesus more and more through memorization. The verses I put to memory are things about God, things that he loves, things he hates, what he desires, what pleases him, the qualities of his character, his purposes, his plans, and how things work best in this world. Through memorization, God has been at work tenderizing my heart. He's been cleansing my mind. He's been demolishing strongholds. That truly has been the most amazing thing to watch him do. He's been fine-tuning my reasoning abilities, and he's been bringing my thoughts in line with his truth. It's been a season of chastening, of pruning, sometimes sandpapering what's inside of me to get his word in me and make me of increasing earthly good and heaven ready. As I continue adding memory verses, I don't see quantity as the standard of progress here. Although I continue adding verses, rather, do I understand this verse? Do I believe it? Will I receive it? Will it come to mind when it's needed? When it does come to mind, will I walk in it? How expansive is it in my heart? I try to make it a practice to review my stack of memory cards once a week, and when I do, there are two verses. Excuse me. Does anyone have a tissue? Thank you. Should have brought tissue. Brought the water, didn't bring the tissue. Mark 10:45 and Colossians 2:9. Take my breath away, especially when I think of them together. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Put that next to Colossians 2:9, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. He came not to be served, but to serve. In him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. This is my Jesus, and I love thinking about those two verses together. I don't think I'll ever get to the bottom of them. Living in the light of our Lord's return has brought a blessed hope and a confidence to my daily walk. This certain hope of his return for us has made the eternal things God speaks of far weightier. I'm able to enjoy other things, but I can hold them increasingly open-handed. Here's some final thoughts to keep in mind before opening this book. It is a supernatural book. Pray for God to show you wondrous things in it. Eliminate the noise of the day so you can hear clearly from him. Listen to what he's saying. Be yielded to it in your heart. Receive it as a path that he is lighting for you to follow. Put it into practice. And then thank him and tell him how you feel about him. His message to us never changes. His love for us never changes. His view of us as his daughters never changes. His grace toward us in Christ Jesus never changes. There is no condemnation. There is no separation from his love. What I know to be true about God, God is after our hearts.